intro here.
Blog Talk Radio.
The new intro. Right,
after the show is the after party there. After the party is the hotel lobby there. After the bell be there. And after the original is probably there.
If you buy it, get them up. I mean you body by.
I mean
you body. We say you body by. I represent
to Atlanta where the players play. And we ride on them things like every day.
Sir.
Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming. And parties don't stop till 8 in the morning.
Tell them how they do in Cincinnati. Tell the people how they do in Cincinnati.
Okay, okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Yes, sir.
How did you know? Represent Fall Out Cities one time.
I'm sweating that roll.
Your time is up, my time is now.
I got to turn the intro down a little bit. Yes, sir.
That was good, man. Once again, I'm going to show a lot of love to JQ for putting that awesome intro together, as always. Man, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports 12th, man. I was kind of letting that ride, man. It's kind of tough, man, because I like to hit the Quan. I kind of like the little Dr. Dre and the Robert Ford, man. But, you know, like I said, man, let the creativity flow. It's always good. We always have fun with that, too, man. So, man, welcome, Talking Sports crew. I am your host, Andre, joined by my fellow co-host. And let's kind of check in with them on this Wednesday. We are officially in the month of March, fellas, so we are ready to get this party started March the 1st. And let's check with the fellows really quickly. JQ, I'm glad you got power, sir. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, yeah, I was great. I'm glad that I can see within 10 feet of my feet now that we got some power back. One time for the thunderstorms and the hail. But, yeah, you know, I tweaked the intro a little bit. You know, I just had to represent for our cities, a little Atlanta, a little New Orleans, a little Cincinnati. You know what I mean?
All good. All good. Yeah, there's a lot of love. And without further ado, let's check out with my fellow co-host, I'm just glad he didn't caught up in Mardi Gras too much, man. But he's back, man. So, Rob, how you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, back to the diet program now, man. Enough king cake and enough of the hot sauces, po' boy. So, back to salad.
Uh-oh. There it is.
Yeah, he was eating king cake for breakfast. He was fine.
Oh, that's what you do on Mardi Gras Day, man. You know. Yeah,
I got a king cake.
Even my son, man, had the biscuits and sausage, and he said, "Now can I have some king cake?"
Yeah, wow. See, hey, raise them up right.
Paint them up in a way they should go.
There you go.
He probably been asking you about different stuff too, man. Hey, where's this and that, Dad? I'm eating this and this and that for dinner, so he's probably like to chip off the old block too, man. So all good.
He's a foodie too. All right, so, he really is.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I wonder
like
why.
We talked about, man. It's all good. We're not gonna talk about it too much, Rob. It's all, as mentioned, man. You know, we were kind of waiting for you to spit something else that you had, man. But you know, it's all good, man. So we'll keep this party moving.
Well, back in H Town today, so you know, back to eating the tacos.
All right. Fair enough, man. All right. Let's get this party. I got nothing, man. Let's get this party started here. Let's talk a little bit more about everything that's happening here. And let me give out the numbers for the show as I get myself together. 424-243-9519 is always the show to reach out to your boys. We are on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports is our Twitter handle. And last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to talk about, and let's kick it off here. And I think the first topic we're talking about, we're going to kick it off with Rob, and Rob, you're going to get like a lot of kickoff here, bro. So just bear with us tonight, man. But we'll talk a little bit about Chris Long, and I guess he may not be back with the Patriots. And I was reading a headline about this, too, actually. He may not be back, but you can kind of lead us off with that and your thoughts about that, sir.
Well, it's real interesting. Obviously, he actually played in all 16 games with the Patriots this past season, had about 4 sacks, 35 tackles, had a solid season with the Patriots. Obviously, former Pro Bowler, 31 years old, was basically a rotational player with the Patriots. and he's pretty much informed the team that he won't be back. You know, obviously he enjoyed the opportunity to win in the Super Bowl in New England, but he still feels like he can be the former player that was a Pro Bowl and he would like to go somewhere and be a complete starter. I mean, I think that's a mistake on his part because obviously I don't think he's that kind of a player anymore, but he can possibly, like I said, still help a team in the rotational as a rotational player. So obviously he's got confidence and abilities, but I think the right thing to do for him would be to probably stay in a situation like the Patriots and, you know, be a rotational player or go somewhere else and be a rotational player and help a team win. But if you're looking for a team that's going to – if he's looking for a team that's going to make him the big-time player and give him a big contract to be an every-down defensive end, he's not that player anymore, unfortunately.
Do you want to add anything else to that, JQ?
Yeah, and the thing about that is Rob is right, and I just hope he didn't burn any bridges on his way out of New England because he may end up back in New England in that same kind of role or with if he's got his pick of it. Sorry about that. To go to a contender, we can do that because I don't think he's that play a 40 snap kind of or even a 30 to 35 snap kind of player anymore. He was in his prime, but he's not there anymore. And Rob said he played in all 16 games, and why leave a contender? I mean, maybe it's about the money and it's the pride at this point of trying to see if somebody else will pay you to be that guy that you think that you are. But I think he's going to find it real hard. We've gotten to a point across a lot of sports where we're going to pay for cheaper talent we feel like we can groom. And if I can pay a guy $500,000, you know, that's a fifth-round pick to play 17 snaps, and I see him doing, you know, getting out of him what I think I should get out of him for those snaps, I'm not going to pay you as a 30-something-year-old veteran $4 million or $5 million to do the same thing. So he may find a real hard market when he's out there trying to find that role that's maybe not existing for him anymore, and he may end up back with the Patriots.
Wow. Yep. Good call, man. I agree on that point, too. And like I said, I'm kind of curious about the motivation, Rob, like you said, because, you know, sir, you know, it's a one-year deal. And, you know, he kind of did what needed to be done. And like you said, he's probably in a better situation if he is in New England. So, you know, maybe, you know, just testing the waters. But, you know, sometimes it's good to kind of stay where you are, man. So, anyway, let's keep it moving here, as we always like to do. So, Rob showing some love with the Cowgirls here. In addition to some five free agents that the Cowboys should target. So, Cowboys fans, yeah, Robert Ford, maybe he's been eating too many andouille sausages, full boys, whatever, that he's talking about this. But, Rob, go ahead, sir. What's your thoughts about this, man?
That's yeah. Right.
Unfortunately, you know, obviously everyone knows my hate and disdain for the Cowgirls, but unfortunately they got a lot of fans around the world. So, you know, you want to improve your ratings, you got to talk about them from time to time. So, unfortunately, we got to do what we got to do so we can stay in prime time here. But,
there you go.
But, yeah, if you look at the Cowboys, you know, if you look at their roster here, obviously I think they're going to need another pass rusher on defense and they're going to need some help in the secondary, both corner and safety. And I think they can use another wide receiver, too, you know, in their offense. And obviously, you know, with Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott, that ground game, you know, is, you know, almost unstoppable. But if they can get another weapon on the perimeter outside of Dez Bryant, that could really help them. So those are just some areas you can look at from both a free agency standpoint and a draft standpoint. But if you look at those positions of need and then look at the free agency class here, you can look at a guy like Tony Jefferson, safety from Arizona, could possibly be a big addition to helping them as well. Obviously, you know, Brandon Carr, one of their own free agents, they obviously going to have to look to keep him and to possibly even look in the open market to add another cornerback as well. You can also look at bringing back your DeMarcus Ware back as an outside pass rusher. Obviously, he's also not the player that he used to be, but still very productive. Could also be a player that could help them. And also Jabal Sheard from New England, who had a pretty productive season as another rotational-type player that could possibly help them as well on passing situations and as far as the pass rush is concerned. And then if you're looking at a number two wide receiver, Kenny Britt, you know, can also be that guy good size on the perimeter, good speed, good possession receiver, could be a good number two guy outside of Dez Bryant. So from a free agency standpoint, these are just a few names that could possibly help them.
JQ.
And none of them will break the bank.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think where Rob was going with that was to break the bank piece because, you know, you got a Boye out there who's going to be a free agent. Also a cornerback from Houston, I think, to his point, they definitely need secondary help. And they need some defensive end help, but it's hard to get a good defensive end on the open market because teams that have a good defensive end usually lock them up. So that's going to be hard to get. Not a war daddy like Jerry Jones likes to talk about. And from the wide receiver standpoint, I'm real interested what happens with Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago as well. I don't know, given he had that suspension, if they're going to give him franchise money. If you can get Alshon Jeffrey, you might have to get him on one of those one-year prove-it kind of deals because somebody may be reluctant to, you know, pay him and give him a lot of guaranteed money because of the suspension. But that might be one of those gambles, and you get him in there, and he finds it, and you're able to work it out. I think the thing, they'll free up some money after this year, I believe, where that big hit off of Tony Romo, whether he's traded or cut, will come off the book. So if you can get a Alshon Jeffrey and let somebody else go like a Carr, like you said, and free up some money for a one-year deal, again, let those cap hits come off the books for next year, they may be able to re-sign them for a longer contract. But I think that's pretty much where they are free agent-wise. I think they're going to have to hit on, like, Melvin Ingram tight end to get – not Melvin Ingram, but the tight end from Ole Miss to cut because Jason Witten is not going to last forever. And that might be where you get that second receiver in that offense. So for Dallas, with as much money as they have pinned out and what they're going to have to dole out to that offensive line coming up, they're probably going to have to really hit on some of these guys in those knee positions through the draft because the free agent class, you're getting a Chris Long kind of defensive end. You know what I mean? You're not going to get really a young, stallion defensive end to come in and help, which I think they really need. And then even that safety, Eric Berry, because I think that Kansas City is trying to lock him up as well. So they're hard to cut
out
those players.
They already locked him up.
And free agency.
Yeah, so I
don't think so.
Yeah, Barry's been already locked up. He signed a new deal. That was kind of breaking news as well, too. So that's something that we were going to talk about
as
well.
Okay.
You got it today, man. Yep. So a lot of moves happening. And same thing with Adrian Peterson. He didn't get his deal re-signed, so obviously that makes him a free agent in March. A lot of moves. We'll talk about that as well, too.
Eric Berry, 6 years, $78
million. Yeah.
Oh,
top, man.
So he got
money.
Okay.
Yeah, he got paid, man. So.
Sorry, I've been in the dark.
Anyway.
I've been in the dark for some
time.
I missed that.
I literally,
the Chiefs could put their focus on Dontari Poe, too, so that was a big deal getting them locked up before the tag.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason why they cut Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's exactly why. To kind of get some money, man. So it's crazy. All right, so let's keep this going here, guys. This is an interesting topic, and, you know, we're talking about the best quarterback in the league in the game today. I'm curious if we'll get three different answers about this because back in the day, you'd probably, you know, and certain guys in the prompt, I'd say this guy is the best corner. And, you know, due to injury or whatever, you know, I'm kind of curious as far as what we're going to say as far as this, man, because I'm sure you say Deion was probably the best in his prime, and little things like that. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts, and we'll kick it off with you, Rob, as far as your thoughts as far as your best QB in the game today.
Yeah. Best corner in the game?
Yeah. What did I say? Did I say QB or did I say CB? I'm sorry. Quarterback. Quarterback, yeah. I hope I said that correctly, too. Yeah, CB, cornerback, yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, you can talk about Patrick Peterson with Arizona. You can talk about Richard Sherman in Seattle. AJ Abuye, I think, is the guy you can has the potential to eventually be in that number. Janoris Jenkins with the Giants. Trumaine Johnson with the Rams, I think, is a very underrated corner that doesn't get enough. Coverage nationally, even though you're playing in Los Angeles. But for me, I think the guy is Josh Norman today. I think he's the best corner in the game from a coverage ability. Patrick Peterson has all the athletic ability as well. He gets by with his athletic ability, but his skill set is not his skills, or I guess the words I'm looking for is his fundamentals. Or is not as good as Josh Norman. So he gets by on his athletic ability a lot more if he can get the fundamentals down, I think he has the potential to be the best in the game. But Josh Normal is physical at the line of scrimmage. He's physical in the run game. And then when you look at it from a fundamental standpoint in coverage, I have to put him number one. I still think Richard Sherman is getting by on reputation the last couple of years, even though I still think he's still good.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Yeah, go ahead, JQ, your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think you really argue with Josh Stormer. I mean, he gets a lot of flack because people say, you know, he doesn't travel with the wide receiver, and A.J. Green really did eat his lunch in London. But I still think, and right now, I would have to go with Josh Norman, and he brings that physicality and that swag that you don't necessarily like all the time, but you kind of have to have it to cover those number one wide receivers. And real sneaky, like, I like Aqib Talib from Denver. I've always thought he's a good partner. He just has too much antics. Antics not so much where it's over the top in terms of a look at me, but he has a lot of antics that are kind of like dirty and just – you feel like, come on, man. Like, you know, you're trying to just disrespect that man on a man level. You know what I mean? Snatching chains, grabbing face masks. You know, he does those kind of things that aren't, you know, I view antics as, you know, it rubs you a little the wrong way. He talks a little about that to play okay. But there are things where, you know, you're trying to just disrespect me as a person, snatching stuff off me and grabbing my face mask. You know, those kind of things. Mm. That hold him back, I think, reputation-wise. But he's a phenomenal, very physical in the run game as well, corner as well. And I would agree. I think Richard Sherman was that guy, but I think he's getting by. And maybe his knee was hurt more than we thought this year, but I agree with Rob. I think he's getting by on more reputation than anything right now. Not that he's bad, but he's not necessarily the elite of the elite.
Yeah. Yeah, good corners. You like I was going to say Talib for me. I was going to also like Chris Harris Jr., his partner in Denver. You know,
yep.
And like I said, it's tough, man, because, you know, you would if I'm not quite sure if it's the system that Josh Norman played with Carolina, because he was at Carolina, it was like that defense was ferocious, man. So I don't know if it was just him and the combination or anything, too. But Carolina, that Josh Norman, I think, was, you know, a little bit better player, but, you know, maybe in the system, if you will. But, you know, those are great names, obviously. Yeah, and then, you know, obviously there's been some comparisons. We talked about Richard Sherman, you know, and I agree with you, Rob, you know, definitely on point with that. You know, it's tough because we'll talk about Darrelle Revis. He definitely dropped a little bit. I'm not saying he's in the best anymore, too, but that talk about a guy that was up there just kind of like had a little decline, man, too. And then, you know, you got to show some love, too.
Undefeated.
To Butler, I was undefeated, Malcolm Butler. And I got at the outside for Desmond Trufant, too, and he got hurt, man. So I'm liking these guys, man. So, good calls on that as well, Jim.
I got one more for you.
Go ahead.
I got one more for you real quick, but he stays hurt and he'll never be in that conversation as long as he gets hurt like that. It's Vontae Davis from Indianapolis. Real quiet, like Vontae Davis is a very, very good cornerback, but he just can't stay healthy. He can't stay on the field, so you can't put him in that conversation. But when he's healthy, Vontae Davis is really good for Indianapolis. But, you know, you got to be available, right? So he's holding himself back with his injury problems.
Yeah, that's true. All right, good calls. All right, so we were talking about this earlier in the fact that, the Vikings did not pick up the option for Adrian Peterson, making him a free agent officially, I think on March the 9th, if I'm not mistaken. And the question is, where will Adrian Peterson land? So, Rob, where will Adrian Peterson land in your guesstimate option?
Yeah, I'm not going to close the door on him actually going back to Minnesota. But, you know, I think that's becoming, for the most part, unlikely. But I still think there's a 15 to 20% chance that he could still wind up in Minnesota, depending on what happens out in the open market. But outside of Minnesota, there's three teams you want to look at. You want to look at the Patriots. I think there's a decent chance that they could be a contender for his services.
Crazy.
Depending on what happened with LeGarrette Blount. But the Giants, I think, is going to be a strong favor and be a big play in possibly getting them as well. They've really been hurting at the running back position for quite some time right now. So I think they're going to be in play. And then the arch rival Green Bay Packers of Lambeau Field, I think could also be in play for Adrian Peterson as well. So outside of the Vikings, I think those would be the three teams that, for the most part, would be in the running. I know a team he would like to play for would be the Houston Texans, but I don't think they have any interest in his services. But I think other than that, you got to look at the Packers, the Giants, and the Patriots. Patriots an outside contender.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, man, that would be crazy if he ended up in Green Bay, man. You talk about just that. That'd be insane. But
like Cordell.
And I agree. Yeah. Can you imagine, like, if he goes to freaking Patriots? That would be no. That's just not fair. But I do think that the Giants are one of the stronger contenders, like you said, Rob, too. But what are your thoughts about this, JQ?
One more. You know what? It depends on how much he's willing to pay for, because you talk about the Oakland Raiders wanting to move on from Latavius Murray, and they got two kind of scat backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield, and Adrian Peterson has been dealing that, you know, kind of with McKinnon right now in Minnesota anyway. I agree with Rob that he may find himself in that same kind of Chris Long situation where that market is not as nice to him as he thought it was going to be. But if you're talking about Oakland with a very good offensive line, with an upcoming quarterback in their
quarterback,
with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree on the outside, I mean, you know, if they can get that defense together, it's all about how much Adrian Peterson is willing to swallow his pride and not make, you know, $14 million a year. If he's willing to take less money, I think Oakland is real sneaky. And if I'm Houston, I would kick the tires. I mean, you got O'Brien coming from that New England system. You talked about New England, which would be kind of like a Corey Dillon 2.0 or 3.0, because I feel like LeGarrette Blount is Corey Dillon 2.0, really, with his style. You would have that same kind of makeup where you get Lamar Miller, he won't get nicked up as much if you can use him to spell Adrian Peterson and do more catching out of the backfield, so to speak. If I'm Houston, I'm looking into it, but I wouldn't overpay. And that's the same thing I would do if I was Oakland. And if he went back to Minnesota, I'd say, you know what, I kicked the tires. They were willing to give him a little bit more money for him to retire as a Viking, but not as much as his contract would have stated for. But if he's willing to take, you know, $1 million less to come here, given the tools that we get, and you know how I feel about Houston. I'm not a Texans fan, but I feel like they're on the cusp if they can get decent quarterback play and having Adrian Peterson back there to help them with all the other weapons you have. If I'm Houston, I look into it the same way I'm Oakland, but I wouldn't overpay.
Yeah, and that's a good call. See, both you guys made some great points, man. And I think if you're most NFL players, now that we know that Father Time is undefeated, as we talked about earlier, you want to be able to get the best opportunity for you. So like I said, the best opportunity would be the Green Bay Packers, because, you know, obviously, you know, you need, well, besides the Patriots, obviously, but yeah, Green Bay's up there. Love it with Oakland. Yeah, that's a great pick too, man. They got a young team that's pretty excited. So they just need like that running back, man. So like I said, man, good calls on that, man. And, like I said, we're not quite sure where he lands, but the good news is that I think he definitely still has a couple more years and, you know, not a lot. And we'll see how he plays up. So this dude has always been a physical freak, man. Amazing. If you will,
three max.
All right, we have Texas Tech. Pat Mahomes, is he gonna? We're thinking he's gonna land the first part of the draft, but where is he going to land? Again, Rob, you take the lead on this, bro.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of NFL GMs that really believe he can really sneak into the back end of this first half of the draft. And so I think he and Deshaun Watson are going to be the two guys, I think, at the back end of the draft that I think you may see a team trade up. But I think there's a strong possibility that Deshaun Kizer could possibly fall to Cleveland at 12. So if that happens, I don't know who would be that team that would trade up into the back end of the draft. So it's right now I'm still going to leave him as a second-round guy, but I think it just kind of all depends on how the draft, the quarterback situation goes at the top with Trubisky and Kizer. And I know there's some talk about Watson possibly passing Kizer. I don't see it just yet, but, you know, I still think Watson's best hope for getting in the first round is a team trading into the back end, which means it would have to be a team like it would have to happen for Trubisky and Kizer to go in the top 10 and for a team like Cleveland to trade back into the first round to get a Watson or Mahomes for those guys to make it in the first round. So right now, until we get a clear picture of what happens with free agency, I have those guys as second round grades.
Nice. Go ahead, JQ.
But you know, quarterbacks always go higher than what their grades
are.
So
that's true.
We have to wait and see.
I was going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth. After this combine, I can see him going up because I can see you got a dark horse team in there in the Arizona Cardinals with Carson Palmer barely coming back for this year. Do they spend a first-round draft pick on a quarterback if they fall in love with one of them? So, and to your point, if those guys fall into the back that back 10, but Arizona's somewhere like, what, 13th or somewhere in there?
13 right now, which kind of hard for them to take a quarterback at 13, but maybe in the second.
I could see them falling in love with saying, hey, you know, we need a quarterback to the point you just made, that if those guys have a good combine and good pro days, where they move up around, because quarterbacks always do. And Cleveland has the draft capital, we talked about it before, to move back into that later part of the first round to get a Mahomes. I honestly would change my thought after, if it doesn't work out at the combine and at their pro days. But right now, I would say that all four of them go in the first round. And Cleveland is that team that drafts the best possible player they can get at 1-12 and see where the chips fall where they may, and then use some of that draft capital to come back and get them Mahomes if they don't get a Tyrod Taylor or get stupid and get like a Colin Kaepernick or free agency. So it depends on that as well.
Good call.
From Tampa Bay.
Yeah. He looks like a quarterback too. That's worthwhile. Hey guys, let's talk about the mock draft. Rob Ford, you are on deck again, bro. Kick it off, sir.
Oh, NFL mock draft. I mean, we talked about a few of the changes. I mean, I've dropped Kaiser all the way down to number 12. And the big change for me right now is what San Francisco going to do at the number 2 position. I personally believe that it should go with the quarterback, but from what I'm hearing, that Kyle Shanahan is up in the air on whether or not he wants to spend a pick on Trubisky or Kaiser at number 2. And so with that being said, right now I have Jonathan Allen, who a lot of people actually feel is the safest pick in this draft, even over Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. So I have him at the number 2 position in San Francisco. That's going to, you know, really determine how this draft kind of shakes out, because I think San Fran and Chicago could possibly go back-to-back on quarterbacks. But if they do not, then you could see one of these quarterbacks, Mahomes or Watson, not even getting picked in the first round. So I think that's how it's going to – I think in a perfect world, that would work out perfect for Cleveland, because then they can draft a quarterback at 12, and then they don't have to trade back into the first round to get a quarterback. And so that's kind of the way I envision it at the moment, but obviously we still got about 2 more months until the draft. Jonathan Allen of San Francisco at number 2, and then I see Mitch Trubisky going number 3 to Chicago. I do not expect Cutler to be back with the Bears. I just think he's either going to be released or it's going to be some kind of trade worked out there. So I see Trubisky there. I see Solomon Thomas, defensive end from Stanford, going to Jacksonville at 4. Jamal Adams, safety, Tennessee. The LSU, Fournette, running back, Jets. Malik Hooker, safety, to the Los Angeles Chargers. Delvin Cook, Florida State, Carolina. Reuben Foster, linebacker, Alabama to Cincinnati. Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback, Ohio State to Buffalo. Now I even talk, you know, about some other key players here. Sidney Jones, cornerback. Got to see him going to Tampa Bay at number 19. No, O.J. Howard, this guy Andre's been talking about. I am going 16 to Baltimore at the moment. So Dory Jackson, another guy I like, play corner and a kick returner from USC, so a lot of versatility. 29 to Green Bay. Jabril Peppers, strong safety, Michigan, Seattle, at number 26. So those are just a few names to talk about in the draft here. And this draft is real strong when you talk about the cornerback position, when you talk about the safety position, and you talk about edge rushers. Those are your three positions of strength in this year's draft.
Yeah.
And then the corner position, you're going to find some starters in the third round, too, probably from day one. That's how deep the corner position is this year.
We need one. I agree.
We need three or four.
Wow.
We talk about O.J. Howard going to Baltimore is a great call because you got to talk about Ozzie Newsome being the GM for Baltimore, who is an Alabama tight end, drafting another Alabama tight end. They're going to probably let Dennis Pitta go. So that's a good call. I agree that I think Chicago takes a quarterback at three. San Francisco at two is funny, given the news we had about Kirk Cousins. I think that San Francisco buys enough time since they're on six-year contracts, and they put the exclusive franchise on Cousins, but Cousins doesn't want to be there. He wants to reunite with Shanahan. I think he plays this year out in Washington and then goes to San Francisco next year, and I think that Shanahan knows that. So I agree. I don't think San Francisco goes quarterback at two. But the other team I wanted to talk about that's not Arizona at 13 is Buffalo at 10. And don't discount if Deshaun Watson is sitting there at 10 when they got Sammy Watkins there as well and they're not selling Tyrod Taylor and they may let him go. But they don't take Deshaun Watson at 10. And that's another piece where you have Mahomes sneak back into the bottom part of that first round and you get that fourth quarterback. But I agree. You got some good calls there. I could definitely see it. Reuben Foster is Alabama. That's SEC. You know, that's all Marvin Lewis. So I could definitely see that happening. So absolutely, Cincinnati could go so many different ways. They could go Leonard Fournette if he's not there, if he's still available. They're going to go SEC. They can go Barnett from Tennessee. I can see all those things happening for Cincinnati there at nine. So I agree, but I think O.J. Howard is maybe a virtual lock if he's available to Ozzie Newsome of Baltimore at 16.
Yeah, and they need good weapons calls, at Baltimore. Man. They need both weapons at the tight end position and they need them at the wide receiver position. And really at the running back position as well. So they need some offensive weapons when you look at the Baltimore Ravens roster.
Yep.
Wow, good call, gentlemen. All right, this is what we're going to talk about. And my father-in-law, guys, he's a huge 49er fan, and he's just thinking that, man, he wants Deshaun Watson, and I'm like, dude, I don't think it's going to happen. But that's what he's definitely got his heart set on.
2018. I'm telling you.
I'm just the messenger, JQ. I'm just telling you what's happening too. So, but you know, from that perspective, so I guess it's looking like the free agent pool is kind of drying up here. Kirk Cousins looks like he's going to sign that extension. You know, I'm sure we're not going to do any more trades.
And that's
kind of
how franchise tag.
Advantage point too. Yeah, franchise tag.
Exclusive franchise tag.
So it looks like the quarterback field is kind of drying up. I know you've heard a little bit about Matt Schaub from the Falcons, but I still think that ultimately they are going to draft a quarterback too, man. So that was good, man, even though it sounds like, you know, it's kind of a toss-up between Jabrisky and or Kaiser. But like I said, it seems like there's going to be some movement, and we still have to see what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, as Robert said earlier here. We're going to keep moving here, guys. We got about 12 minutes here. We are moving right along here. Let's talk a little bit more about some team needs here, and we're showing a lot of love to the Redskins right now. We got a couple teams to talk about, so let's start off with the Redskins. And I don't know if Rob wants to take this or JQ, so you can kind of let me know. I don't know if you wanted to do the research, let Rob kind of kick this off, JQ. So that's what I've been doing.
I could do Washington.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I mean, just from watching them, and then, you know, playing fantasy football as well because I'm a junkie. They need defensive help. They need defensive line. They need linebacker. They need secondary help as well, and they got to really figure out what they're going to do at the wide receiver position, because if you're going to pay Cousins $23 million a year, you can't let Jackson and Garcon go and not replace them. You can like Crowder, and you can hope the other young cats they drafted last year pans out, and hope that you get Jordan Reed to come back, Dotson that is, Jordan Reed to come back from all those concussions and injuries. But they got to make sure they get that wide receiver position worked out with re-signing one of them and hoping that Dotson works out. And, you know, Fat Rob had a decent run, but they also need a running back as well, I think, personally. So they got some things they got to work out, and it's going to be harder to do that when you pay Kirk Cousins $24 million this year. So it's interesting to see the direction. I mean, it is what it is at this point. I don't disagree with them for doing that for a quarterback that you feel like knows the system has been playing well, but it won't matter to pay him $24 million if he doesn't have any weapons. So they gotta figure out the running back and wide receiver position, but they also have to figure out how to play some defense as well. And you saw towards the end of the year, as those injuries stacked up for them, they don't have a lot of depth on that defense period at any of the three levels. So for me, it's defense on all levels. And, you know, they definitely have to address wide receiver if they don't resign their own and try to sneak a running back in there as well.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think he covered it pretty well. There's three areas of focus that I had written down for him. Pass rushing is desperate for his football team right now. And even in the draft, I have him taking Taco Charlton, defensive end from Michigan, which we talked about. Is lucky for the Redskins, that's a position of strength in this year's draft. But as JQ mentioned, the wide receiver and the running back positions on the offensive side of the ball are huge needs for this team as well. I don't think they'll have an opportunity at a Fournette or a Cook for him at 17. So they'll probably have to bypass 17. So I think McCaffrey will be a little bit of a reach and not have him as a number three running back in this draft. So that wouldn't be a consideration. Wide receiver, obviously Mike Williams, I think he may not be available to him at 17. John Ross might be a slight reach there, so you probably want to hit your pass rushing situation and go with J.Q. Hughes' favorite team, U of M. Taco Charleston, Michigan will bring somewhere in the draft there. But I think those are the three areas of major focus for this football team. They've got to get some more weapons on offense for both running back and wide receiver position. DeSean Jackson, we're not sure if he's going to be back with that football team. So that's a position that they are going to have to address, whether it's in free agency or the draft.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of my hated teams. So, Rob, kick it off, bro. Your thoughts on this, and JQ, stay tuned.
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right now, I have them taking Sidney Jones, cornerback from Washington, in the first round. They still desperately need some help in their secondary, and I mean corner and a safety position. They've really improved their front seven, so I think they'll be strong in that area. And Andre's favorite coach, Mike Smith, taking over that defense.
Oh.
Done a pretty phenomenal job. They've come on really strong at the end of last season. As a matter of fact, it was forcing turnovers at an extremely high level. And they were putting some decent pressure on the quarterback. So their front seven looks to be pretty solidified at the moment. They got to get that back four together or back five or six. As you know, a lot of teams are throwing the football right now. So you really got to play about five or six in that secondary back there. So that's the end of that defense that they are going to have to get fixed. And I also, this is another team that I think they can also use a wide receiver too, to put outside of Mike Evans. Vincent Jackson is not the player that he once was, so I think you could also look at the wide receiver position as a position of focus for this team. And then offensive line depth, they're going to need some depth along that offensive line, but particularly possibly right tackle and another interior lineman is probably what they're going to have to look at as well.
Yeah. Good analysis. Go ahead, JQ.
They definitely need back end help and a wide receiver. I think are their biggest two spots, and then the third one I agree will be the offensive line because you know you gave Doug Martin that kind of money, and Doug Martin is healthy, and you give him the ability to run. He's not necessarily game breaking speed, but he is a very good and serviceable running back. But I agree, they need some help on the offensive line. That secondary, they're trying to address it. They addressed it last year in the draft, but they need some more help there as well. Well, I look at that front seven, and I agree, but I still feel like they need another defensive end. You look at McCoy on that defensive line, who's really come on, and then you look at one of Rob's favorite players there, no LSU, in Quan Alexander, and then you look at LaFondre David as well in that linebacker core. They just need, I think, one more edge rusher to really set them off, and they did play much better down the stretch. But I think I feel like they need another defensive end. So I would agree with all those three levels he talked about that they need the most. But I would add that they need another rusher because you're talking about a Drew Brees, you're talking about a Matt Ryan in that division, and a Cam Newton, right? So you got to find a way to rush the passer and get there and force some more strip sacks and some more negative plays from your defensive line per se without always doing it from your linebacker core.
Good call. I love it. I love it. Gentlemen, we are making good time here, man. So we've got about five and a half minutes here until we get ready for that. So we are going to talk briefly. We're going to get to this, and we're going to talk about some fantasy shout-outs here. Denver. Let's talk about Denver here. And this is a squad that on paper it looks like they seem to have it all. I would probably say one thing, QB. But yeah, let's figure out this man and get your thoughts about this. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the QB position. You got to make the decision. Obviously, you got a new regime taking over, and Vance Joseph as a head coach. So anytime you got a new head coach and your quarterback position is unsettled and you just drafted one in the first round, you have to ask the question, is Paxton Lynch going to be your long-term answer at quarterback? You spent the first-round pick, so my answer is they're going
to
give him the opportunity
at
least. Yeah, absolutely. So I can't see them taking a chance on another first-round pick as the quarterback position in this particular draft. Could I see them going after a veteran to kind of bridge the gap a little bit? That's a possibility that I'm sure they're probably studying right now and trying to decide. So you got to answer the question about the quarterback position. Also, you need help on your offensive line, too. Last couple of years, his offensive line has deteriorated a little bit, and so you really need help at both the tackle position and your interior positions. So that's going to be an area of major focus. And obviously, DeMarcus Ware is a free agent, and you are going to need another pass rusher on this football team. Obviously, he probably got the best in the game in Von Miller, but you would like to get him a little bit more help on that end. Also, you can possibly look at some linebacker depth as well. Right now, I have him taking Cam Robinson, offensive tackle from Alabama, who right now I still have as the highest-rated tackle in the draft. And most of the time, your highest-rated tackle will go a lot higher, but I have him going number 20 to Denver right here.
Yeah. And I like the maybe running back, too, because I don't know if their running back position is still kind of solidified, too. I mean, there's a lot of injuries, too, but that's just me. I don't know. I'm thinking about that.
Booker,
yeah, that's like they were down. Huh?
They spent that pick on Booker, and I think they're going to give Booker another year
that's
to
true.
See if he can do it with C.J. Anderson.
Yeah.
Because you spent like a third-round pick, I think, on Booker, so you want to find out if Booker still has it. So I don't think they'll running back early. They may go late if they get good value.
Maybe late.
In the draft.
I'm just not sure about
I agree
that. Yeah, good call. Good call.
Yeah,
yeah. Good.
They absolutely need offensive line help for sure. There's no doubt about it. And let's not kid ourselves. If Tony Romo gets cut, John Elway will have to piss in Tony Romo's cornflakes for him not to want to go to Denver with that defense they have. I just don't. That to me is the same way with Peyton Manning going. And you watching Tony Romo watch that and watch Peyton Manning go win a Super Bowl in Denver. He's looking like as long as me and John Elway can get together, which they probably already have through back channels, nothing they can talk about, but they talked, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's going to happen to give Paxton Lynch. I think they're going to have to give Paxton Lynch a chance only because they use draft capital to move up to go get him. But I agree with Rob. You get a veteran quarterback as a stopgap, let him learn from the hands of a veteran quarterback. I just feel like Tony Romo just makes the most sense for Denver of any other team, and unless they just can't come to grips on trade value or money, then that's the only thing that holds it up. I don't know about defensive end because for the same reason I feel about Booker, I feel that same way about Shane Ray from Missouri that they just drafted a couple years ago, that they're going to give him a chance to probably be that guy to rush off the opposite side of just lost the name of my dude, Texas A&M. But they're going to give him a chance to do that. So I don't know if they use high draft capital for him in terms of that, in terms of in the draft this year. So I see them going offensive line heavy if they can, and then just really getting value. And it just depends on what happens with Tony Romo. I think you got to let Trevor Siemian and or Paxton Lynch do it, given what you used your draft capital in the past drafts only. I don't think they're ready to just cut them and not give them a chance and say those are wasted picks.
Dang. Thanks, JQ. Ben, that was good. All right, here we go. We got a minute, 13 seconds here, Rob. Do the fantasy shout-outs and get ready for the OT portion because we got a minute to jump into that, too. So go ahead, Rob. Got to be quick.
My bad.
They saying word on the street, Chris Paul out here looking like Khalid El Amin. Man, that's cold.
Oh.
Trying to say fat.
That's crazy.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to our show. On tonight, we will be back on the air on next week. Gentlemen, what night are we going to roll with on next week?
Tuesday. I'm thinking. Yeah, I think Tuesday.
That's Tuesday night. We'll be back on the air Tuesday night, people. We're going to be talking NFL Combine, NFL Draft, NFL Preview, NBA coverage. You don't want to miss it. March Madness right around the corner. One of the fastest and hottest 3 weeks of sports coming up right around the corner, so you don't want to miss our preview of all of these upcoming events. So join us on Tuesday night. We'll have it all covered for you. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Von Miller. That's who I was talking about. I don't know how I forget his name. I just drew a blank. Appreciate y'all for tuning in to the podcast and supporting us through all this. Join us for all the crazy coverage. We know we're going to talk good dirt to us. And Rob is still out there letting shots off about Atlanta real quiet, like losing the Super Bowl. He's going in real quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, call it, y'all.
He's a different person. He's a different person than, you know, Facebook, man. Freaking Filson, you know, talking celebration that they lost. I mean, I know. I see, Rob. I see it. You don't know I see it, bro. It's all good, man. Trying to fake us off, fake the funk. You want to just shout out, Rob?
Man.
You still call me, bro, but I'm saying. I know you, bro. I see it. Go ahead, man. Do you fancy shout outs, bro?
Fancy shout outs for the week.
He got nothing to say. He got nothing to say. Because it's the truth.
Yeah,
do you fancy shout outs.
Oh, man. Hey, it's all in fun.
Oh,
man. Biggest win of the week last week, Pastor Rock, Chester from New Orleans, with a big 7-1 win over the Jute. Had the biggest win of the week. Yours truly still sitting in first place. Oh,
keep
man,
trying.
I messed up my lineup on Monday. I forgot to set it. I'm trying to get out of the hole so far this week, so hopefully I can get out of the hole and win this week.
Uh-oh.
Good call.
Yay.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Wada. Yeah, all right.
For pushing me. And good Lord have mercy. The only reason why I tied with him was because Nicholas Batum had like 9 3-pointers on Sunday night. It's the Clippers. I was watching that game on NBA TV like, man, you got to be kidding me. This dude just hit 6 3-pointers in the second half? Oh, that was rough to watch. I'm competitive. I can't help it, folks. I'm sorry. But I didn't lose, so I'm still sitting in second place, and I'll take it. I can't catch Rob. I just got to concede that at this point, unless he keeps doing that kind of craziness without setting his lineup. But that's not going to be an everyday thing. He's going to get it together.
I know. I hate
love
that.
It. All right.
I got to get out of the hole.
We still got to talk about the last two teams here, Detroit and Miami. So let's wrap this up here, and we can talk about some contracts. And I do want to talk about your Joel Embiid, man, the next Ray Golden. That's a great topic to talk about here.
Mm.
So really quickly, needs for Detroit and needs for Miami. Go ahead, Rob. And we'll get JQ in there.
Well, Detroit, if you really watched them on last year, the defense played extremely well, much improved on that end. Offensively, they got by with the short passing game. And so they did a lot of screen. They did a lot of screen to the wide receiver, a lot of screen to the running back position. They weren't able to beat anybody deep. And so I think from the standpoint, that's where they missed Kelvin Johnson. They really need somebody that can stretch the defense to really open up their offense, and they can really be pretty explosive if they do that, especially if their defense played the way they did last year. I still think they can use some help at the corner and safety position on the back end of the defense. But other than that, to me, their biggest weakness is they need somebody to stretch that defense. And their offense could be pretty explosive to where it was a few years ago.
And a running back.
Go ahead, JQ. Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that, but they need a running back. I don't think you can rely on Zinner, and Abdullah can't stay healthy. I think they need a running back as well. And I don't know if they go running back first round, but I think they need a running back there most definitely, but agree. They have to have a – Marvin Jones was able to do some of that in Cincinnati, but he also had the benefit of having A.J. Green on the other side. And he doesn't have that now. So he sporadically can hit those big plays. And Golden Tate cannot do that on a regular basis. And Ebron is still up in the air where he can do it. So I totally agree with Rob. They need a game-changing wide receiver. Maybe not always a burner, but somebody that can, you know, be physical and go get those 50-50 balls consistently. I think they have to have that. And I think they have to have a little bit of better offensive line play. But I think they also have to be able to take some of that pressure off of Matthew Stafford and not say, pass the ball 50 times for us to win. Let's get a running game in here as well so we can play action pass and open up a Golden Tate and a Marvin Jones and maybe that wide receiver they maybe can get in through the draft or free agency.
Good calls, man. Good calls. So did you hit anything about Miami? You talked about that as well because I wanted to get a brief and chat about that too. So I know we're talking about a lot of stuff for Detroit here. Any thoughts for Miami real quick?
To who?
Well, you look at Miami.
Okay.
Yes, Rob. Yep.
They can use some depth at the linebacker position.
Sorry.
And I think they can use some help in the secondary as well. And this is another team. I know we've been saying a lot of teams need wide receiver. I think Miami could also use another weapon outside of Jarvis Landry. The running back position, Joe Ajayi, looks like the answer. That guy was a real truth, really carried them there in the second half of the season. Had some phenomenal games. And I tell you what, man, I drafted him in a lot of fantasy leagues. And he got off to a slow start, wasn't doing nothing at the beginning of the season. I cut him and I regret it. That really hurt toward the end of the season.
Yeah.
But they look like they're going to be set at that position for a long time. So I think when you look at the Dolphins, you got to get Jarvis Landry some help. And Jarvis Landry is not a burner, but he's the type of receiver that can catch 100 passes in a season. He's got great hands. But this is another team that can probably use somebody that can really stretch the defense. And then when you look at the defense, even though their front four was really effective this past season, I still think they can use some depth at linebacker and secondary.
Yeah.
Because,
I think I agree. I think for Miami, they have to get secondary, they have to get linebacker help for sure. But when you got Cameron Wake and Sue on that front four, you know, you're going to create a lot of havoc. For them, to your point, you talk about in the secondary, they have to be able to get Rashad Jones healthy and sign to a contract extension at the safety position. And what do they do with Kenny Stills? Can they afford to re-sign him, or do they go in the free agency somewhere a cheaper route, or go through the draft? So I would agree with you on that point. So Miami is one of those teams that if Ryan Tannehill can continue to make that ascension as a so-called franchise quarterback, he's not elite yet, but keep making those steps forward. And Ajayi has just been a monster in that backfield. I agree. They, you know, they're not far off either. They just play in the same division as the Patriots. And that's really what's going to hold them back right now, what they have to deal with Belichick and Brady. It's just the truth of the matter. You're going to be mad as a Fans fan and say, you know, bump that, we're going to knock them off. But, you know, you got to respect what those guys are doing, and they're in their division. And right now you're pretty much playing for a wild card, if you want to be honest with yourself, or you have to just have a lights-out season. And it's still nobody's going to put money on Miami in the AFC East. It's just not going to happen. Who's going to put money on it? Nobody. Nobody on this call will put money on Miami beating, you know, especially with Brady for 16 games. We put money last year on maybe Miami doing it with Brady for 12 games. With Brady for 16 games, I can't put money on Miami winning that division. So they're playing for a wild card, and that puts them in a much tougher race. But I agree with the points that what Rob said. They have to address those positions.
All right, let's talk about two contracts. Let's talk about contract for Eric Berry and contracts for Antonio Brown. Throw it out there. Go ahead, Rob. You can kick us off too about that. Cause I know we were just getting on this whenever we had the power outage. Just go ahead for the calls here. We got
Eric Berry, 6 years, $78 million. This was the deal. The Chiefs was really they didn't want to use a franchise tag, and they got the deal done in time. Obviously, most sports writers and most sports analysts from around the country figured the reason they wanted to get the contract done so they can use a franchise tag on defensive tackle Dontari Poe, but the Chiefs surprisingly decided not to use a tag on him, which makes him a free agent. So that's going to be real interesting to see how that goes, if the Chiefs are going to be able to retain him or another team is going to have an opportunity to get a player who's normally a player of this caliber, doesn't hit the open market. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Dontari Poe going forward. But, yes, Chiefs, 6 years, $70 million, Eric Berry.
Yep, good call.
Yeah,
what do you think about that? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's the price of doing business is what it comes down to. And like Rob talked about it, and we talked about it at the beginning of the show, is that you don't normally get those kind of players that hit free agency that are cornerstones of a franchise, and Antonio Brown for the Steelers, Eric Berry for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, to me, whether they had, you know, and once he told him he wasn't playing on a franchise tag, he pretty much forced Kansas City's hand. But I agree with Kansas City for the choices they made. Eric Berry's don't necessarily grow on trees, and, you know, he's battled back and such a feel-good story for your franchise on top of that, that you almost have to kind of find a way to resign him, he doesn't play all 6 years of that deal. I think we all know that. He'll play those years of where the guaranteed money is up, and they'll probably renegotiate it and figure out where he is at that point, health-wise and productivity-wise. And for the Steelers, I mean, you can't count on Martavius Bryant. He may or may not be back in. You can't take account on Hayward Bay. You got to pay Antonio Brown. It makes you see what they do with Le'Veon Bell now that you've given Antonio Brown that kind of money. Because once you dole that kind of money in one or two positions, of course, Big Ben gets his money. Where do you skip on? If you have to skip on the secondary, then you're counting on that line, that front seven. It would consistently get pressure because they re-up James Harrison. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two teams navigate the other needs the teams have now. But for Kansas City, I'm surprised they didn't franchise Poe, but you're looking at cutting Jamal Charles, but you have two capable backups in Weston Ware, so you can kind of bridge that gap somewhat. So I think the jury is still out in terms of how they fill out the rest of that roster once they give that kind of money to a couple of players. But I don't disagree with having with giving that money to those players because you just can't let them walk away. You're going to have in this era players that make four or five, six players that make up 25-30% of your salary cap because you have to retain your stars to have a chance to win, especially at the quarterback position.
JQ is on fire, Rob. I don't know, man. You both are just, like, killing me, man, but it's all good. All right, we got literally 5 minutes. Good call on that. Really quickly, Rob, can you truly talk about I don't know if we can fit all this in, about Kevin Durant, can they still win? I'm still yes, they're going to prepare that, and then also about Joel Embiid. He's the next Greg Oden, man, which is getting close to that because the Sixers having a bad look losing to Ben Simmons and losing Joel Embiid. So can you hit those two real quick, Rob? You got like a minute and a minute for JQ, and let's wrap it up. So go ahead. Go. Minute.
Well, if the Warriors are just going to lose Kevin Durant for the regular season, I think they'll be fine. They'll be able to get by the first few rounds with him, even not at 100%. And by the time you get to the finals, you hope that he would be at 100%. So my guess is if he's back in time for the playoffs, the Warriors would be just fine. And I think they'll still be the favorites to win it all. If he's not back for the playoffs and he doesn't play in the finals, I would give the edge back to Cleveland in that regard because you got to realize last year Harrison Barnes was useless in the NBA Finals and the Warriors are not going to have anybody even as good as Harrison Barnes to play the small forward position if Kevin Durant is not available. So I think the Warriors will still be competitive now against the Cavs, even without Kevin Durant, because you got to realize 2 years ago they won a title without Kevin Durant. So they'll still be very competitive. But if Kevin Durant is not there, I would give the edge to Cleveland to winning the title. And you can almost make a case that the Warriors will even have a tough time coming out of the West with Houston and San Antonio. So that would be but I think they will still have a shot to still be very competitive. But as long as Kevin Durant is able to play in the finals, then they will be the favorites to win it all. And Joel Embiid question, obviously injury-prone, off and on, having a phenomenal year, and the 76ers have invested a lot into him. They even traded Nerlens Noel. So obviously there's a lot of concern there. I'm not ready to put him in a Greg Oden boat just yet because some of the things that Joel Embiid has done, we've never seen Greg Oden do this in the NBA. But he's obviously out for the season, and that's a big blow. But I'm going to wait a little while longer before I'm ready to put him in the Greg Oden category.
You must not time yourself. I said a minute, and you know that was like 2 minutes.
Go ahead, JQ.
All right.
I agree with all that. I don't have to
agree
with that. Yep.
Wrap up the show, Rob. Because
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be on the air on Tuesday night next week. Tuesday night, once again, you don't want to miss us. It's going to be Tuesday, March 7th. We're going to be getting close to NFL free agency, right in the heart of NFL Combine, March Madness in full swing, NBA in full swing. We got a lot to talk about, so you don't want to miss the show on next week. Shout out to Northwestern. Look like they might be getting their first NCAA tournament big. What a shot. What a play to get to win that game on tonight. Miraculous play. So shout out to Northwestern and the Chicago area tonight.
He's sleeping. Go ahead, JQ. Wrap it up, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be long-winded tonight. I'm just trying to slow down so I don't talk as fast. Appreciate everybody for sticking in with us, and download the podcast again, the OT portion for sure. We'll holler at you next Tuesday. All the topics Rob talked about, you know we're going to be ready. Holler at us.
U.S. companies too, will lose billions of dollars due to slacking workers, Joe Mardi Gras. Keep telling Andre he needs to stop the slacking.
Dude, I was working the last kind
of
time, bro.
Oh, Joe Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras, I'm sorry.
Come on, bro, man. You got to get your stuff together, bro. Come on, bro.
I agree with
you, man. Peace out, guys. See you next time. Yeah.
Yes.